Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts. Top five streaming movies. Top five movies you can stream right now on the old Netflix to cover you for the impending break.
Netflix?
Huh?
Fuckflix.
As Anderson likes to call it.
I did not limit my list. Yeah, it's fuckflix heavy, as is usually the case. Mm-hmm. Came up with five solid films over there at Amazon.
Oh, really? As well. I feel like it's almost universal what's streaming these days. Like, no. Something's streaming in one place, it's often streaming in others.
No.
No? Is that not true?
Sometimes. But okay. A couple of mine for sure. Amazon Instant, yes. Fuckflix, no.
Really?
Fuckflix,
good call, man.
Losing a foothold.
Yeah, they have a stranglehold they used to have.
Finally, my wife had a big bulbous TV in the bedroom.
A bulbous TV?
Very old.
Oh,
old
like the tube TV.
Yeah, yeah. Bulbous. Like, it actually had domed outward.
Okay.
You know, you could get dust on there. And if you remember, I actually shot one of the shorts that I shot, used my backyard because it lent itself to a cult.
Was that a cult?
Yeah. That's the one Logan was at. And
who's Logan?
I apologize to my wife profusely because the house was fucked. It was like having a giant party, but no one's having fun. They're all working.
No one's having fun.
It sucked. So I got her a better TV. Mm-hmm. I brought her into the present day, and I got a Roku with it. So for the first time ever, I was checking out this Amazon Instant, what the kids are talking about, and I got to tell you.
Pretty sweet.
Gives fuck flicks a run for his money. So,
nice.
I thought I'd include some Amazon Instant because I know a lot of our listeners are Amazon Instant Prime members, Logan included.
Well done. As am I, actually. So I'll be interested to hear what you have on there.
Very good. Oh, I should also say this.
What's that?
My number one fuckflix streaming, probably without a doubt, the most controversial pick on Film Vault history.
How? How can it be controversial? How can it be controversial?
Controversial.
How is there controversy over whether you're not streaming or not?
I like to be a controversial individual. No, you'll see.
Okay.
You'll see when we get there. So let's get right into it. A lot to get to.
With
a little flick fashion.
Yeah, we're going to confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Right now. Anderson, speaking of streaming, saw a film that was streaming on Netflix.
Must have been
nice. Saw it today.
Must have been nice.
Well, it was great. I mentioned a while ago that there was an influxuation of Woody Allen films on the old Netflix there, and many of which I had never seen.
Doing a little catch-up.
Doing a lot of catch-up. And I saw an unconfirmed report, but a report nonetheless, on online there, that pretty much all of those Woody Allen films are expiring on January 1st.
Much like his life soon.
That was
rude.
Way too soon.
I like Woody Allen. I hope he doesn't die soon.
He might. He's a frail old man.
He is a frail old man. You're right.
Well, he's a frail young man, and now he's a frail old man. So I tweeted out to people, to the Twitterers out there, and I said, hey, aside from these few Woody Allen films that I've seen, I listed the ones that I'd seen.
Seems like more than 160 characters.
I said, I've only seen about six Woody Allen films. Maybe seven. So aside from these, what do you recommend? What's his next best film? And I think the number one winner was Manhattan. So I saw Manhattan.
It's been a while.
1979. You ever seen it?
Been a long while. Yes, this is one of those ones that it gets kind of dramatic, and then it goes back to a comedy, and then back. And there's some good dramatic shit in this movie.
Yeah. It's very introspective at times, very sad, but it's also very funny at times. And the humor, a lot of it, is rooted in sadness. It's a 1979 film, black and white, written and directed by Woody Allen, starring, of course, Woody Allen, Diane Keaton, Michael Murphy, Meryl Streep, and a young Meryl Hemingway. Remember young Meryl Hemingway? What a vision.
What
a vision.
Brian, come on.
She's beautiful.
All right. We don't say what a vision, though, like seriously, without tongue-in-cheekliness, you know?
There's a little tongue-in-cheekliness there going on. She was nominated, Anderson, for Best Supporting Actress that year for this role. So broke out of the gates with a Best Supporting Actress Oscar nomination. Nominated for Best Screenplay, of course. Recommended to me by several people on Twitter. So Woody Allen writes his female fantasies. I mean, he has the verbose yet desperate intellectual who is Diane Keaton, but he's also sort of torn between her and the vapid sort of submissive nubile who, by the way, 17-year-old in this movie. 17. They're dating and they're 17 years old. He's in high school.
Wait, who is?
Meryl Hemingway.
She's 17.
The character is.
You're talking about how hot she is.
No, I don't think
disgusting.
I'm sure she was 20. I'm sure she's 21.
Are you okay with that? Usually that's a big, huge pet peeve with the Brian
big
world.
Pet peeve. If it was black and white, so it was okay.
Is that so?
Must be nice, though, to be able to write your own little female fantasies into your script that you know you're going to direct and star in.
Right. Yeah, I think that happens more often than you might know. Yeah.
So Woody Allen's
been writing.
Chef.
What's that?
Reminded me of Chef.
Chef, the movie, the new Favreau.
Yeah, where he's torn between Scarlett Johansson and Sofia Vergara.
Mm-hmm. Woody Allen has been writing fantasies for himself for quite some time.
He has.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of like a New York City like cultural travelogue. This is another one where the city is a character, and it's so different.
What was that movie, that bad movie that you had me watch, where it was a spoof of romantic comedies? A couple months ago. It wasn't very good.
I don't remember.
It was a spoof of romantic comedies. I cannot remember.
Oh, it was They Came Together.
They Came Together, yes. Mm. They came at the same time.
That's right.
And they kept talking about it. And, you know,
it's like, almost New York, like it's
New York's a character. It's like New York is a character in this story.
That's right.
Just like that.
It's just like that. This is where that whole thing started. So it's funny that he was making New York City movies at the same time that Scorsese was making these New York
City
movies.
Very different New York.
Depicted a very different New York.
It's kind of like black man's New York, the white man's New York. You know what I mean?
Well, the Jewish man's New York, maybe.
Uh-huh. And the Catholic man's New York?
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
But it made me think that I wonder if this is in any way a response to some of Scorsese's kind of depictions of New York, the hellish taxi driver in New York, the midnight, obviously, you know, midnight, or, well, Midnight Cowboy. Yeah, sorry. Obviously, that's not Scorsese, but it's depicting the same thing. And it's almost like Woody Allen saying, yeah, it's a dump, but it's our dump. Mm-hmm. Like he's depicting it in a very, like there's Gershwin, remember the soundtrack was all like George Gershwin and it was all done by the New York Opera or whatever, the Manhattan Opera or whatever it was. It's
Philharmonic.
Philharmonic, thank you. It's very, very lovingly look at New York. Yeah, I like the movie. It was a bit, it's very Woody Allen-ish. So if you're turned off by the extreme Woody Allen nature, like several scenes exist only so Woody can get in the last joke. It's like he's doing a little mini comedy routine. He has to get the closer in. It's a bit self-aggrandizing, but that's what Woody Allen does, and that's what his movies are, and this is apparently a classic. So I enjoyed it. Don't know if I would list it amongst the greatest movies I've seen recently, but worth seeing. And if you're a Woody Allen, if you want to get into the canon, I suggest you see this one before it expires on January 1st. Allegedly.
Could be like just pages out of his own journal.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, you know how he writes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he gets up, he writes 8 to 5.
I love this quote. I've said it before on the show. He goes to the writer's room every single day, which is an office in his apartment in New York, and he sits down. And if no ideas are coming to him, what's he going to do? Is he going to get up? Nope. He's going to make a sandwich? Nope. He's going to sharpen pencils.
Yep.
He's going to sit there at that writer's desk until he comes up with something.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, his work kind of shows for it.
It does. Yes. There's times where it's thin, times where it's
but
thick.
But he's always offering something.
Yes.
All right.
So Manhattan, a classic Woody Allen film.
Here we go. I got to turn up the heat. This is getting cold in here.
It is getting
cold.
That's what you notice. I pulled my hood up. It's getting extremely cold. Extremely cold.
All right. What I'm about to say hurts me a great deal.
Why is that?
Hurts me a great deal. Now, just recently, just a few weeks back on this very here program, I said that I believe 9 out of 10 indie films suck. Said that.
Yeah.
About 9 out of 10 miss the mark. Most of which you've never even heard of because they're
say,
indies.
No, not indie films you know. Indie films that just are out there.
Now, there are directors working in the field today, most of which I love. And they are capable of making indie films with their own dime or the studio's money. But because they are such big names, they get to make whatever they want. And in sense, they're very independent films. Stanley Kubrick, he was making independent films right until the day he died, making them his way. the worst movie I've seen all year, with the exception of possibly Land Ho.
What is Land Ho?
Exactly.
Okay.
Inherent Vice.
Oh, no.
Is the least fun I've had in a movie theater.
Oh, no.
All year.
This is terrible news.
This is the 2.5 hour 1970s Los Angeles-based Paul Thomas Anderson picture.
Oh, no.
It's coming on the heels of The Master.
Is he going completely off the rails now?
A lot of critics will tell you they did not like the first time around, but when they went and revisited The Master, they found that it is, in fact, a masterpiece. I went back and did a little research myself, watched The Master again, did not enjoy it anymore the second time.
Did not find it to be true.
I appreciate what he was aiming for, and it seemed like he had a aim. Here, he does not have an aim.
Oh,
Inherent
no.
Vice, it stars Joaquin Phoenix, Josh Brolin, Owen Wilson, and a number of other people. Here's one of the main problems with Inherent Vice. It's another one of these restricted narratives, meaning we're going to stick with the main character the entire film. The main character here is played by Joaquin Phoenix, Larry Doc Sportello. Didn't give a fuck about Larry Doc Sportello. I think that maybe I was supposed to enjoy this. This is based on a book, which Paul Thomas Anderson obviously enjoyed very much. Martin Short has a small role in this. He's by far the most memorable best thing about this movie. That's another shocking thing that I'm saying, because I never found myself to be a Martin Short fan. Every time that character that he does with the hair standing straight up and he's on his tippy toes, every time that comes on TV, I die for the remote.
I cannot stand that.
But Phoenix doing a version of Jeff Bridges throughout much of the movie.
It seemed like a very Lebowski-inspired kind of thing.
And Josh Brolin eating big black phallic things throughout, which I think was supposed to be hilarious. Didn't really get me going. Mm. I didn't give a fuck about any of the characters.
Wow.
None of the story.
This is devastating.
And
damn, I was looking forward to this.
Yeah, it was like, imagine a Big Lebowski without any real aim or comedy. I think I laughed out loud twice, and those were kind of forced, like I was searching. Mm.
Damn.
Painful.
Ooh.
Now, does this mean I give up on Paul Thomas Anderson? No. Do I think he's the greatest living director? He might not be anymore. Not in my eyes. Mm. Might have slipped. Oh, here's the best part. I was walking out of the theater after it ended. I found a lighter on the ground. Mm-hmm. Picked it up and it worked. It's the best thing about the whole experience. Yeah, I found a lighter.
A working lighter.
Yeah. Wow. That was the best thing about Inherent Vice.
That's really a sad commentary.
8.0.
No.
Says IMDb right now. And the
that's why
critics,
you can't ever trust IMDb.
This is the actual letter.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Clipper letter. But yeah, just shockingly, I want almost uninspired, out of focus a lot of the time. It just felt like he was kind of having fun with his friends or something.
Wow.
Nothing there to like. Now, I know a lot of our listeners who are ardent, like, Paul Thomas Anderson fans, such as myself, they're going to go see
myself.
It. You guys are going to go see it. You're going to go see it. People mm-hmm. are still going to go see this movie. And hopefully you'll enjoy it a little bit more now after hearing, you're going to go in with very low
now
expectations.
I'm knocked down a few pegs.
I can't really, I don't like Joaquin. I don't dislike Joaquin. Okay. He's just kind of there. I hope that their little relationship is over and that he can move on.
Shit.
I would like Paul Thomas Anderson to move on. He's so good at writing like really great pathetic characters and you don't really see that. Now, the first time I saw Big Lebowski, I did not like that either. And now it's my favorite comedy of all time. And, you know, I almost know it by heart. I love that movie. However, I went back to see that one again, knowing that it was probably within me that there was a problem, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the story was so convoluted and there was so much going on, it was kind of hard to keep track, and I missed a lot of the golden comedy there. This one, that's not the case here with Inherent Vice. I have no interest in going back to see it.
Wow. All right.
Just aimless.
Sad.
He's just searching. And, you know, it took me about 45 minutes to finally realize, yeah, it's not getting any better. I kept hoping. Damn. And the best thing about Inherent Vice by far
is the
space and the lighter. The lighter is the best thing. But the space, the 1970s, Los Angeles. I mean, this is a Los Angeles that he grew up in. He grew up in the Valley.
Yep.
And he recreates the entire look and feel of it. I mean, I grew up, you know, some part of the 70s, and it felt like I was in my childhood looking at and hearing some of this stuff.
Interesting.
But I didn't want to hang out there for 2.5 hours unless something was going on.
This is very sad to hear.
Mm-hmm. Inherent Vice. Hmm. Not only was it not good, it was the least fun I've had in the theater all year. And I've been in the theater for a number of hours.
The most violent year is better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, by far.
Oh, good. At least there's some hope out there.
Selma could be better, hopefully. There's still some hope. Something's coming.
This is devastating.
But, yeah. Brutal.
I saw a film. You ever have a thing, Anderson, where you see a movie, you have many, many specific problems with it that you hate, yet you overall like the movie?
Yeah. I got one on my list today.
Oh, well, here's one on my list. I streamed it. It's called I Know That Voice. It's a documentary about voiceover actors.
Mm-hmm.
Voice actors, they call themselves. I Know That Voice is a documentary from last year directed by Lawrence Shapiro. It was produced by Lawrence Shapiro.
I know that name. What else did they do?
He hasn't done anything, so I don't know why you know that name.
It's weird. Go ahead.
I looked him up, and he had literally directed one other small little thing from like 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by John DiMaggio. Not Jean DiMaggio. John DiMaggio, he's from Futurama. Anderson, I know this is not TV Vault.
No.
However, I must ask you, thoughts on Futurama?
Might be later. Yeah. Futurama is like a decent spinoff. If it's on, you know, I'll laugh at a couple things Bender says here and there, but I have no passion for it.
I will die for the remote turn off as fast as I can.
I already used that term.
You did?
Earlier, yeah, about Martin Short's character.
Okay, I will throw my shoe at the TV to try and get it to change something.
I don't dislike it to that extent. I mean, it's clever. It's got some funny shit.
There's something about it that just irks me. Like, it rubbed me the wrong way.
Can you please play the opening theme of Futurama?
No, please don't. No, no, no.
I would like to enjoy Brian's look of pain.
No, don't do that.
While listening.
Don't do that. Yeah. I can't. We cannot continue the show.
We will.
No, Logan, please do not.
Please.
Yeah,
Sorry to put you in the middle, Logs, but
John DiMaggio is the whatchamacallit, voice of Bender.
Okay. Bender's the best character.
One of the principal subjects, along with this.
I guarantee you, Brian, and not to get hung up on Futurama, you and I sit down, watch an episode, 22-minute episode uninterrupted, you would giggle at least once. Guarantee.
I've seen many, many, many minutes of Futurama accidentally.
Mm-hmm. Accidentally? How does that happen?
It's all
you think
in the
you're watching something else? You think it's a cartoon porn?
I don't realize
that
what
I'm
watching because I'm doing work, and all of a sudden it's like, what the fuck am I being bothered by?
Mm-hmm.
And it's Futurama. Also in
this
film,
how I am with you when I'm trying to get reviews.
Oh, come on. Ed Asner, Hank Azaria, Diedrich Bader, David Faustino's in this, Seth Green, Matt Groening, Mark Hamill, Breckenmeyer, Lorraine Newman, Billy West, Stephen Root.
A lot of voices.
Those are just some of the literally dozens of people who are in this movie. Mm-hmm. It is nonstop voice actors. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're all extremely fragile people. They're like the last person you'd want to get stuck with at a party, like get stuck talking to.
Oh, do they talk about themselves? Wait, Seth Green's not that way.
No, you're right. There's a handful of people, mostly the ones I named, the ones you recognize who are kind of, like Hank Azaria seems like a perfectly normal dude.
Okay.
And Breckenmeyer seems like an affable fellow. And
right.
Sorry, I mean all of them. I mean, there are a number. You're right. Thank you for making me refine that. There are a number of people in here who it's forced quirkiness meets like some insane. Oh, the blowhardiness, Anderson, the blowhardiness. Talking about their craft and their art and pontificate. You think I wax?
Yeah,
you think
I'm hearing you describe yourself.
You think I wax?
A little bit.
I never talk about craft.
I get a lot of taste of these people when they're,
a lot of Asperger's.
When they're booked on Loveline because like a lot of time what they don't come on the first segment, so they're in my room with me, and a lot of time like they'll be talking to me about their bits and what they're doing on stage and acting out like their comedy routines, and it's just uncomfortable for everyone involved.
Do you think it comes from their job, their life, which is speaking uninterrupted into a microphone, literally having all the time in the world to talk about whatever they want, as many times as they want, as many times as they want? As many ways as they want. Do you think it comes from that, from never being told to stop, never having a
But they're reading somebody else's
room?
Words, so they can't have...
Glad you mentioned that. There was an episode of Inside the Actor's Studio. This is very TV vault. There was an episode of Inside the Actor's Studio. There was the Simpsons cast. You know, sometimes you get the whole cast of something. And James Lipton made the mistake of saying, like, Dan Castellaneta, can I please speak to Homer Simpson?
Yeah.
It was excruciatingly unfunny. Mm-hmm. The thing people don't realize, and especially the voiceover actors, the thing that makes The Simpsons funny is not the funny voices, it's the funny words. And they're not making the funny words.
The chick that does Bart's voice was on
Loveline. She was in this, Nancy Cartwright.
Before I was doing Loveline, she was on, and I guess there was this famous moment where like they asked her to do the voice of Bart. She refused.
Really?
Uncomfortable.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe she knew.
She didn't hesitate in this movie. Uh-huh. Didn't hesitate.
Well, cameras are rolling.
Go to Bart.
Yeah.
Aside from Hank Azaria and like maybe Harry Shearer a little bit, that was a disaster of an episode. It reminded me so much of this, which is, hold on, what was so upsetting about this? There was a 45 seconds straight of a guy making pig noises.
Oh, that sounds doing, for 45 minutes?
45 seconds? 45 seconds of pig noises?
Well, yeah, yeah, I mean, like really interested. If it was full 45 minutes, how do they do that? That's avant-garde.
Oh, it was brutal. At one point, a lot of bits in the.
All right. Sorry.
Keep it going.
No, I don't want to do that for 45.
Can you imagine
that? Hurt my nose. My nose would be numb.
I hurt my ears. There's a lot of bits in this movie, Anderson. At one point, they have the actors do like Shakespeare, but in funny voices. Like that. One of the many, many unlikable characters in this movie is a voiceover teacher. And he's like, if you can do Shakespeare in the voice.
Oh, Christ. All right, I'm going to watch this.
6 minutes of Shakespeare in funny voices.
Ironically, you're kind of waxing poetic about these people waxing poetic about a movie that you're not really recommending. So let's move forward.
That said, overall, I did like it. I know it doesn't sound like I did. It drove me nuts at times, but I actually liked it because I get to see behind the scenes of a world I didn't know a lot about and see some cool people doing some cool things. And yeah, it's worth streaming. It's short. It's 90-something minutes, and there are many recognizable voices, many people from your favorite cartoons and such and such. So film fans, this is one you can enjoy.
Clint Eastwood's got a movie that he directed. It's coming out soon. It's based on the real-life accounts of a man named Chris Kyle.
Why are you seeing all these movies ahead of time? I don't like this.
I like to see movies.
Why do you get to see all these screenings?
American Sniper.
Why do I get to see the screen?
American Sniper. Everyone's most of us have probably seen the trailer. I don't know if they're running on TV, but yeah, they have a pretty intense one scene, which I always like when they do one scene from a movie as the trailer.
I agree. That's a good thing that not enough people do.
And that's exactly what they did with American Sniper, where he's got his rifle trained on first a man on a phone, and then a woman, and then a kid, and to the hand, the finger on the trigger, and he's going to do it, and then, black American Sniper. It's nice. It's good.
It's good. It's an effective trailer.
However, Clint Eastwood, he's Clint Eastwood.
I'm on the record as being, I'm sold on Clint Eastwood. I've sold my Clint Eastwood stock.
He goes down the road of Corn pretty easy and doesn't seem to have any
problems
with it.
How about the road? Bad.
You just said that you're sold on him.
No, I sold my Clint Eastwood stock.
Oh, I
sold it off.
I thought you said you were sold
on
Clint Eastwood.
Sorry, I
was actually kind of happy to hear you taking such a positive stand on the old man.
Sorry.
I like Clint. I love him, actually.
It's been a long, slow road.
One of my favorite iconic characters in Hollywood folklore.
Are we in agreement that Gran Torino was a huge piece of shit?
It's hilarious. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
There were a couple of funny parts.
What are you spooks doing? He's the only guy that can get away with playing such a horribly racist character.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
that. We did
top
5 racist characters. Are we on your list?
He may have been. I don't know. That's not the point. The point is American Sniper. It's based on a book written by 3 people, which is kind of strange when you see that, including Chris Kyle, also known as the Devil of Ramadi. All right, so I don't know how much you know about Chris Kyle.
I don't know anything other than he's supposedly the America's most lethal sniper.
Exactly, right. And that's kind of what it follows. It follows him both in the field as well as at home. You really get the idea of, sure, it seems kind of archaic in the sense that, his wife is always all worried and concerned. She's just playing woman to a T, you know what I mean? Like, we live in such a PC world now. Like, parts of me were like, is this really right? But it's based on an actual book.
It's Chastain, right?
No.
His wife is not Jessica Chastain?
No. Oh. She's not Jessica Chastain. Sienna Miller?
Oh. Shit. Yeah. Wonder if I had that wrong.
Probably Jessica Chastain is in Interstellar. Very similar movies.
Okay.
Similar movies. Had some real promise, this movie. Had some real promise. And I'm telling you, the first half of the movie, I was very in. If not, by nothing more, Bradley Cooper is phenomenal. I mean, if there's any question, this guy, I think after Silver Linings Playbook, everyone realized that he's great,
For me, it was American Hustle.
For me, too.
I
didn't like the Silver Linings like everyone else did. But
agreed.
American Hustle, thought he was great. Was it Wedding Crashers? What was he in?
He was in Hangover.
He was in something before that, like a smaller role.
Oh, it was Wedding Crashers. Sorry, you're right.
He played like
Zach.
A really asshole fiance. I loved him in that.
His name wasn't Zach. It was Sack.
But in Limitless, he's great in Limitless. But
he's great
really
in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That thing that both you and I hate when we hear people say it, but sometimes you have to. You forget that it's Bradley Cooper.
Okay.
He is playing this big, tough guy with a beard, kind of quiet, keeps to himself. Sniper, Texas, good old boy character where he loses Bradley Cooper within this role. The Insurgents. Now, here's one of the biggest problems with Clint Eastwood, and we can see it going back to Million Dollar Baby with her parents. He just kind of casts off some characters and doesn't give them any dimension at all to the point that they're ridiculously cartoony. Mm-hmm. And that is definitely the case with the Iraqis in this movie, down to the other sniper that he's kind of going up against. He looks like Jafar at times from
Aladdin.
It's and with the 5 o'clock shadow and I expected him to break into song and dance with his rifle a few times.
You never had a friend like me?
Oh my God. I don't get it. I don't know how that happens because they were on to something. It was really pulling me in. The showdown at the end, I'm not talking, but it's just ill-conceived. It was just ill-conceived. However, right up to the very end of this movie, I was very invested, as much as I scoffed at some of these elements. He was great. I bought him as a character. There's nothing cartoony about him. And I can give it a pass almost because this is from a book that he partially wrote based on his real-life accounts. Perhaps this is how he saw the Iraqis down the scope of his barrel, of his gun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can give it a pass there. And it was like an hour and a half after the movie, and I was still researching this guy and reading about him. So that says a lot.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper, deserved of some kind of recognition for this role. Fantastic. And it's whenever like an important movie, especially like a war movie, is made and is about a man's life, a hero in this. It feels strange to even be like picking apart a movie about his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just let the movie exist. Let people celebrate this man and see it and recognize what he did for this country. All that being said, check it out. I mean, it's coming out. I think January 16th is when it's going to get wide release. It's going to be in a few little theaters here and there. But other than a couple, you know, huge major missteps, this is a good movie. By far, not anywhere close to the best war movie I've ever seen, but the best movie I've ever seen about a sniper.
Okay,
can tell you that much.
We're better than Gates of War, Gates of Hell, Enemy of the Gates.
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay. I did not like Enemy of the Gates. I know you love that sex scene, but
it's a good sex scene.
Yeah, we had Mr. Skin on Loveland a couple weeks ago, and people were calling in with their favorite sex scene. Somebody called in with that.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
it's a solid sex scene.
And I believe Mr. Skin's retort was, I don't believe there's any nudity.
Yeah, there's no nips.
That.
There's no nips.
I didn't see any muff. There's no muff.
No fur burgers.
All right, so that's what back says. Burger.
That's
so
right.
My wife hates the term back burger so much. Oh, I love it. It's the worst. It's so crass. Can you get more crass? When
no.
you see the vagina from behind, it's called back burger. So terrible.
The best part is he kind of laughs when he says these things, like he knows he's being a little ridiculous.
American Sniper. It also, you know, touches upon PTSD, and, you know, it gives you a sense of what it must be like. It made me feel like an asshole for never, you know, doing anything for my you know, country.
What?
Never doing anything for my country.
We do a podcast.
Watching this, I thought about this podcast.
There's
and
probably
the after
soldiers listening.
And
to
how
podcasts.
Embarrassed. I just felt embarrassed. Like, every week I'm like in Toronto and I'm like, hey, what about me? My life sucks. And there's people over there doing this shit. It's just embarrassing, right? So it's humbling in that respect.
All right. Finally, I saw a movie that's not going to be out for a while, too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Let's see what you
got. In fact, it has no release date.
Oh, really? What's what you got?
It's written and directed by Adam Carolla.
Wow, Christ.
Roadhard.
Jesus.
Saw Roadhard.
I was so proud of you.
Why?
Because you didn't mention it last week, but that's because we're doing it next. Oh, speaking of which, tickets still available over there at the Improv for the After Disaster
The Bray
show.
Improv?
Yeah, Bray Improv, December 22nd. It's this Monday. It's 3 days from when you're hearing this right now. Come on down. It's going to be a good time.
Good times.
Go ahead, talk about Roadhead.
Run and directed by Adam Carolla and Kevin Hench. They're starring Adam and Larry Miller, Diane Farr, David Alan Greer, Phil Rosenthal, Howie Mandel, Jay Moore, Dana Gould, Ileana Douglas, David Koechner. Sort of a dramatized version of his life. I mean, sort of how The Hammer was. This is a little more... the version of Adam's life where he gets famous doing, in this movie, The Bro Show, and he does it with a guy who has now gone on to become the king of late night, who Jay Moore plays that character, and the Adam character is sort of, I would say, struggling to get along. He's going through a divorce, he's living in the back house of his house, and he must go back on the road. All the development deals have dried up, the big deals have dried up, and it's time to go out. And
why have they all dried up? What was the reason?
Well, they didn't give a reason, but you get the sense that his star has faded. He's faded away.
Why is it?
I didn't say.
He doesn't get introspective on this and self-reflect. Cathartic.
He doesn't actually
search his soul for why that might have happened.
No,
it just happens.
It just all of a sudden happened.
Would have been pretty interesting if like there was a reason behind it rather than just it happened. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he sort of.
I wonder what his reasoning is. Why do you think he thinks that happened?
Well, I don't think this is necessarily about... I don't know if he had the development deals and the holding deals and all that stuff. But the point is, those things happened back in the sort of the Tim Allen days of Home Improvement and sort of the Seinfeld, you know, glory days of sitcom stars. And those things have kind of gone away. And a lot of those guys, that's why you see Tim Allen popping up at the Improv. You know, he doesn't love stand-up comedy. He loves making money. Or like any of us would. I don't know, I'm singling out Tim Allen. Just any of us would, you know.
He likes doing blow, too. He used to.
Supposedly.
So anyways, how is it? I really like The Hammer.
This is very similar in that, number one, I think this will play better to non-Corolla fans, non-Corolla audience people than it will to his fans, because there's a lot of familiar material in here to people who listen to the show every day. Frankly, you've heard a few of the jokes and a few of the punchlines, and I went to see with Christy at this premiere. She was laughing very, very hard at stuff that I was like, that's good, that's good. And like, I've heard that before.
Didn't
I know
you ask her to, though?
No, I did not prod her.
Didn't you like squeeze her hand during and be like, laugh?
When I tap you three times.
He can hear you from here.
Laugh, hysterical. No, these jokes were all very fresh to her, and I imagine to a fresh audience, they'll be very, very funny, because they are very, very funny. I'm just happy to have heard a handful of them before. And it's a good date movie, because there's a love story that's sort of at the heart of this, and in my opinion, these date movies that Hollywood sort of foists upon us are really just movies where girls should be dragging their guys to the movies, whereas a good date movie really needs to be a movie that can be enjoyed equally, independently right. of each other, of gender, whatever that is. And I feel like The Hammer was that way, and I feel like this will be that way. So when it gets a release date, you guys will enjoy it, I think. I enjoyed it. And yeah, this is a solid entry. I laughed a handful of times.
No Jimmy Kimmel.
What do you mean?
He wasn't in this.
No.
It's odd.
Well, I mean, Jimmy tapes a show every day, and they need like movie actors. Mm-hmm. Jimmy literally has a full-time day job.
Where Jimmy wasn't going to make an appearance. I think that.
But Jay Moore played the Jimmy Kimmel character.
Yeah, he could have been on Jimmy Kimmel's show. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, but they never went on the show. It was all backwards.
Different universe.
Stuff.
All right. Yeah. Here we go, Brad.
I think you'll like it.
I was assigned a film last week because I continue to lose, hoping that streak ends here tonight. But Brian had me play the canary, as he said.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
He wanted me to go see The Theory of Everything.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Because he wasn't so sure about it. And I knew that I was very sure that I would not want to subject myself
Why?
To such a movie.
It's going to be Oscar nomination.
Because it looks very Hallmark, very made for TV.
Looks sappy.
Very milquetoast. Now, going in with all those low expectations, expecting to see what I saw, I was dead nuts on for most of the movie. Halfway through, I got a little bit tired of the lighting and how everything was bright and soft-edged. But somewhere along the line, that motherfucker. Eddie Redmayne, I hope I'm saying his name right. He was the main kid in My Week with Marilyn.
Okay.
Or A Week with Marilyn came out last year. A couple years ago now, I think. He got me.
He is Stephen Hawking in this.
He plays Stephen Hawking in this. This is based on a book written by Stephen Hawking's ex-wife, who was played beautifully in this movie by, what's her name? Felicity Jones, which I never got to experience Felicity Jones before.
Okay.
I love her.
Who is she?
Exactly. She's been in 36 Things. She's in like a lot of shows and things that other people watch
okay.
that I don't.
Downton Abbey.
I believe so. Yeah, I looked up her list. It was like all things that I'd heard of, but I had avoided and missed and I've never seen. She's fantastic.
Okay.
I think she's going to be big. I love this girl. Reminded me a lot of my wife. I really liked it. Made me miss my wife as I was watching this movie. Based Jane Hawkins is his ex-wife. She's the one who wrote the book, The Theory of Everything. It's a tragic tale. There's a couple different love triangles that I did not see coming, did not know were coming. It was interesting to watch those play out. And in the end, it's just an eloquent, gentle, beautiful little film. It's a really nice little movie. I was very pleasantly surprised. Tears were welling up numerous times, Brian. And that's a tribute to the actors. They were both so good. As well as the supporting cast was very good as well. A little bit slow at times, as to be expected, but it's in the same vein as like the movie that we both liked that came out a couple years ago about the guy. The French film
Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
No, that one as well. Oh. Diving Bell,
oh,
Butterfly.
No, the not the Imposters, but the Untouchables.
The Untouchables. Thank you very much. Yes, very, very similar in tone because, you know, you're dealing with, he's got Lou Gehrig's disease and you feel it. We all know Stephen Hawking. I think that's one of the things that's actually against this movie. If this was about a man who, you know, was kind of obscure, not many people, I mean, Stephen Hawking's the most famous scientist in the world, right?
I would say so, currently, yeah.
And if this was made like a more obscure character, I think that I would have liked it even more. I think a lot of other people might even, because you feel like you're discovering something.
Interesting.
I was expecting it to be really heavy-handed, which it was at times, but it worked. It worked for me. And you really see just the grueling nature of his life and just all the obstacles he's had to go overcome. A lot of similarities to what you went through.
Yeah,
and I think you're going to actually appreciate it, and you might even get more emotionally invested than I was. But... yeah, I'm really happy I saw it. Thank
Good.
You for forcing me to go see this. The Theory of Everything. I wouldn't be shocked if it was up for Best Picture. I wouldn't be shocked if one of the two of them got a nomination. It's a really tough year as far as actors go,
for
especially.
Sure.
I don't see him getting. That doesn't mean that he doesn't deserve one. I'm sure the BAFTAs will acknowledge him.
Sure, we'll rain down praise.
And I am now a giant fan of her. She is awesome. Loved her.
Yeah. Felicity Jones?
Felicity Jones, yes.
The name sounds familiar. I'm sure he's nowhere from around, but I can't picture her.
And this is, you know,
apparently
a movie
Logan's getting us a commercial
you
break.
Could you know, take your parents to, you could watch it, force your kids to watch it, and you really get the idea. And we've all heard stories. Stephen Hawking's kind of a prankster, and he's actually a funny guy, and you get the sense of that with this for sure. But yeah, I was a little bit ashamed that it got me three separate times. I found myself quivering. As embarrassing as that is to admit, I was. If I found a lighter at the end of this movie, I won't even remember.
Perfect.
No, I won't even remember finding the right lighter because it would have been insignificant. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe you did. Maybe you did find a lighter and you remember it.
The theory. You know what? It's kind of like in the same vein. If you liked The King's Speech, I know you didn't, but if you liked The King's Speech, the same kind of feel.
It was just...
Same kind of feel. This is directed by James Marsh, who's more known for like Project Nim and Man on Wire. I didn't see his last film, but it was handed delicately, and it was a fragile little sweet film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming up next, top five movies streaming right now. Amazon, Anderson.
Mm.
People are starting to listen to you, us, but mostly you.
Starting.
They're getting all your the stuff you recommended. Someone got a Star Wars Jedi Master fleece bathrobe. Someone got the classic movie mug, recommended by both of us, actually. And the other, the travel mug, the lens, the photo lens travel mug.
Oh, I'm people, so jealous of that person.
People purchased. Other interesting and notable things purchased through the Amazon.com banner on AndersonandBrian.com is a vintage retro Coca-Cola sign, Fire TV stick, the Amazon Fire, and the Roku, of course. People streaming all sorts of stuff. Streaming is the theme of the day, Anderson. Mm-hmm. People want to stream. Red Sonja She-Devil with a sword statue. Oh, so much athletic gear. Someone got Arkansas Razorback gear, a scarf, and a floating logo hoop earrings. Interesting. San Diego Padres gear was bought. Baltimore Orioles gear was bought. A Juan Uribe Dodgers batting practice jersey for some reason. I didn't realize Juan Uribe was popular enough to wear his own jerseys. Liverpool FC. If you're into soccer, someone got some Liverpool FC gear, some 49ers gear. What is this here? A bath fan. You got to fix the bath fan if you want to get rid of those unpleasant smells.
You got a fat fanny.
Cards Against Humanity was purchased. So many toys, so many games. Can't even possibly go over them, but thank you guys for clicking through for all your toys and games. Logan's at my party. We got the little hot cocoa pods outside. Someone bought a 24-pack of those.
I have no idea what you just said, but good.
Hot cocoa packs. The Keurig K-Cups.
Oh, the Keurig. Now it all makes sense.
Sorry, K-Cups. Jell-O mold for USC, apparently. USC Jell-O mold. 2 pounds of raw cashews. Gift cards were bought. Many gift cards. One of this one in a nativity scene card. Nativity scene.
A card? Oh, is that kind of
front? Yeah,
that
comes in a little card.
A little manger.
An Asus laptop. And what is this here? A wide-angle lens for indoor-outdoor surveillance cameras. Gotta get all the spots. Oh, speaking of spots, adult G-spot clitoris sex toy dildo vibrate massager multi-speed vibrator. That's what it says. A go-girl female urination device.
What?
A Oakland Raiders 3-piece spatula barbecue set, and a Kindle was purchased. Thank you guys for all the click-throughs. Anderson, what kind of
you know what occurred to me? What's a couple days ago when I went into the men's bathroom, because the girls, I noticed that the girls' bathroom aligned, and I saw one in the men's.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a girl, I would bring one of those You Go Girl things with me. Go in the men's and just stand in the urinal.
Just go. Yeah, no one bother you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do it.
I'd be brazen.
Ballsy. With no balls, by the way.
Here are the movies that were clicked through since the last time we talked. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Never seen that. Never seen Game of Thrones Season 1. Oh, Khaleesi. Khaleesi. Guardians of the Galaxy was clicked through there. What else? The Bourne Trilogy. All three of them. The Grand Budapest Hotel. The People vs. George Lucas. Fantastic. Raid 2. The Raid 2. As well as The Raid Redemption. The Sandlot. You're killing me, Schmalls. The Spy Who Loved Me. I don't know why I said that.
Bond.
We're No Angels.
Bond.
Home Alone, as well as Home Alone 2, Lost in New York double feature. You ever do a porn of Home Alone? That'd be inappropriate.
Home Alone.
Elf was clicked through. It was a very strange movie. First half for adults, second half strictly for children. Elf, that movie Elf. Bull Durham clicked through there. North by Northwest classic, 50th anniversary edition. As well as Scrooge, Charlie Brown Christmas, A Bug's Life, American Graffiti, and some good picks this guy.
Thank you guys for clicking through for all your movies
picks.
And your shopping needs and all that stuff. We appreciate it. And now back to the show.
I'll say it. I got it, buddy.
Go for it.
Oh, Sex and the City, the complete series.
Don't read the stuff that's not marked.
8%.
Please don't read the stuff.
Well, part of our 8% click through. The Seahawk was clicked through.
You know, this is all.
And back to the show.
Hi, I'm Vanilla Ice. and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Welcome back. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you to all of our featured artists this week. AndersonandBryan.com is where you go to get more info on them, to hear something you like. It's on the episode page. Anderson.
Yeah.
I mentioned that I saw on, according to HuffPo and other news outlets, I saw a list of films that were expiring on January 1st.
Why do you do this?
Why do what?
I guess they'll have enough time.
Yeah, like this comes out this week. It'll be a couple weeks they can watch these movies.
Darn.
And I've been guilty in the past, Anderson, of talking about movies. No, guilty. I convicted myself. Mm-hmm. Guilty of talking about movies where I say, oh, this just expired last week, so I started to watch it. It's not helping anybody.
No, it doesn't. I don't know why.
So these are movies that are expiring in a couple weeks, and if this is your winter break, if you got some time off for a couple holidays or with the kids or... You're a teacher. You're in school yourself. So you got time to watch some movies.
And this
so
the,
all of my movies are expiring January 1st.
All of your movies are expiring. Okay. Now, this holds true for myself as well, but when we do episodes, I don't expect you to have pen and paper at the ready or your little notepad on your phone or your smartphone there. Do we have to call them smartphones at this point? Aren't there just phones? Can't we just call them phones?
Phablets.
Be prepared to, you know, maybe take some notes or listen twice.
Or go back and look at AndersonandBryan.com on the honorable mentions
Better
page.
Yet. Better yet, yes, that's a good one. Go to AndersonandBryan.com.
Honorable mentions.
Real quick, by Stephen Hawking, do you think that other scientists are like jealous of him and say, oh, all there is one people cares because he's got his condition. It's just a tragic condition.
I bet there's sniping inside of that world because, I mean... Because
I know comedians, like if you're a midget
absolutely.
And you're popular, everyone's just like, if he wasn't a midget, no one would care.
And they're competitive and they think about how Drew and other doctors think about each other probably.
Yeah, he hates Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. He likes Dr. Oz. He does hate doctors, but I don't name names. All right, here we go. Here we go. I got a ton here, so I'll start off.
Okay.
Brian, there's a movie that we've talked about before on this program. I don't know how long it's been streaming, but Martin Tyldrum, who directed...
Director of the Imitation Game,
which I just talked a lot about last week, I guess it was. Originally, he did a movie called Headhunters, which is what put him on the map for this show anyways. It's a fantastic movie. It is streaming. It is foreign. There are subtitles.
Number five. It's a Norwegian film.
My number five for the old fuck flicks is the Norwegian Headhunters, which I guess is
you
like...
You should explain to people what it is, because it sounds like a horror movie, but it's not.
It's
a thriller.
It's an unraveling
thriller.
It's a movie of... I believe this is one of my top five of unraveling characters. Mm-hmm. And this is actually, I think, the movie that I saw. I said, we got to do unraveling. And it's about a guy who's got it all together. He's got all the answers. He makes a living in like in the art world.
There's an art dealer or something, art, right? Or a collector, a broker.
There's some lessons to be learned by him. And you, as an audience member, get to kind of experience it through his guys. And things don't go so well for him. And it's a rapid-paced moving.
Yeah.
You've seen this before, Logs?
Yeah, you're right. It is very fast-paced and it moves quickly. It holds your attention very well.
So well done. And I guess this is their biggest movie that's ever come out of that country. It's like their Jaws and
like
Rocky and Godfather. It is their big, big movie.
Yeah. It's really good. It's very easy to enjoy in any language because it's so there's so much action. Not action, but there's so much kinetic energy going on in this movie. And action, I guess you could say. But a lot of it does not rely on... you were reading a lot of subtitles.
Norway, Headhunters, all one word. Headhunters, streaming over there on Fuckflix.
Good call, buddy. All of my movies, Anderson, are movies I've rated 5 stars. Okay. So they're amongst my very, very, very favorites.
Pretty loose over there with your stars.
If there was you and I talked about doing a list of top five or top, just 100 movies we love or something like that. You wanted to read off a list of movies at one point, just read off titles.
Mm.
That was an idea you had.
Yes, a thousand of my favorite films, just speaking.
These would all be my top 50. Okay. These would easily be top 50 movies for me.
Let's start spitting them out.
Also, shockingly, Anderson, underrepresented on top 5 lists. I went back and looked at my old notes.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about them before. I think I've left off a lot of these movies for fear that these are too well-known or they're too obvious or whatever it is for, you know, top 5 buddy movies or whatever. For example, number 5, Beverly Hills Cop is expiring on 1-1.
The original.
1-1-15.
The OG.
That's right.
Okay.
And if you have not seen Beverly Hills, well, these will be familiar to a large percentage of our audience. However, if for some reason this has escaped you, it is a fantastic movie.
It is.
Martin
really
Brest directed, 1984.
The music will date it, for sure. It's going to feel very dated as a result of that Axel P. Foley score.
Dude.
But it's great.
You've probably heard the score because it's part of the zeitgeist, but it really is fantastic.
It's fantastic.
They don't make movies like this anymore. They try to make movies like this, but they don't. Jackie Chan's usually a part of those movies. Yeah.
It succeeds in the action aspect. It is a legitimate action movie.
Like, you care about what's going on.
And it is a legitimate comedy. This is a hilarious movie. Yeah. I love the behind the scenes stuff where the actors had to, you know, hold. You learn that in this scene they're barely holding it together, and you can kind of tell because, you know, what's his name, John Ashton or Judge Reinhold's like kind of bending over, like pretending not to laugh, but they're really dying inside. Very funny movie.
That's
really
not
well done. Action
be
movie.
On the streaming though.
No, it's not. But if you do the research after the fact, like I have, and you're like, oh, in this scene they're barely holding it together, then it kind of makes sense.
Judge Reinhold's character actually was
Taggart and Rosewood.
Top five dumbest character, dumb characters.
Aww.
Favorable dumb characters.
Top five dumb characters.
I think that the truck chase scene also in my top five car chase scenes. So there we go.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Love Beverly Hills Cop.
Number four for me. Another classic, Brian. Going back to 1961 for this one. Unrated, but long. And black and white. The Hustler.
Yeah.
The Hustler is available on Fuckflix. If you've never seen it, if you wanted to see it, if you want to go back and rewatch it and see what all the fuss is about, The Hustler is right there for you.
It's an imperfect movie, but the
characters are so
the characters
rich.
Are great, and the pool hall scenes are excellent. There's some stuff with his girlfriend and some stuff that takes place outside the pool hall that kind of drags a little bit, but the stuff in the pool hall is electric.
Paul Newman,
star-making stuff.
Jackie Gleason, George C. Scott. This is a movie that should be seen by everyone who considers themselves to be a fan of films. And then you can also go back. I didn't check to see if Color of Money, the sequel many years later, is streaming.
Look, check on that real quick.
Scorsese's Color of Money, which is a direct descendant of this.
Well, it's a sequel.
The Hustler, yes, the sequel. So, The Hustler, 1961.
Kind of disappointing, though, right? Sorry, I know we're getting off The Hustler.
I liked The Color of Money when I saw it when I was a kid in the theaters. It might be actually the first Scorsese movie I ever saw in theaters. Wow.
What say you, Logan?
I thought The Color of Money is pretty good, but it is not streaming anymore.
It gets a bad rap.
Check out The Hustler.
The Hustler's great.
There's enough great stuff in there to make it worthwhile, for sure.
It's one of two black and white films that I have on my hipster list here.
I have a black and white film.
A controversial list.
Number four, black and white. Mm-hmm. My next film. I love this movie, and it gets brought up from time to time, and it's only been on one list, as far as I can tell, on my top five limited storytelling. 12 Angry Men.
Oh, so good.
Expiring January 1st. You still have time to see it. I imagine this is one that our audience maybe is not super familiar with because it's 1957, directed by Sidney Lumet.
Perhaps.
57, black and white.
I know, but it's kind of like a go-to.
You
got to
see this. If you haven't seen it, please track down 12 Angry Men. I love this movie. Henry Fonda, Lee J. Cobb, Jack Klugman, Ed Begley. This is such a great movie. Nominated 100% of Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. You will not find a bad word said about this. Nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay. Lost all three to Bridge on the River Kwai, unfortunately.
Oh, so good.
Bridge on the River Kwai.
Bridge, is that streaming? Let's just bump.
I don't think it is.
Let's just bump 12 Angry Men for Bridge.
No, I like 12 Angry Men better. 12
really?
Angry Men holds up better.
No. If you have to watch one over and over again, you go Bridge every time. Epic.
To watch over and over again, like for the rest of your life, just because there's so much going on.
So much going on.
12 Angry Men
exactly.
is limited storytelling. You're limited, in that jury room.
You're frustrated with him.
You're never in the jury room.
Yeah. It's a little microcosm of human nature.
Bridge on the River Kwai is not.
Fuck.
I had to watch 12 Angry Men in a high school class because I had one of those teachers that was a coach more so than a teacher. And so to teach us how juries work and stuff like that.
That's how juries work.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's a great movie. It's expiring January 1st, supposedly. So please do yourself a favor and check out 12 Angry Men.
Number three for me. A big hit last year in theaters right around this time. Everyone was talking about Nebraska. Alexander Payne's Nebraska. A fantastic movie. If you missed it last year, if you saw the theater once and you talked to people about it is black and white, Brian, and you want more people to see it, Nebraska is streaming. I was actually very pleased to see that it was streaming. Bruce Dern, Will Forte, June Squibb, who I think got kind of a free pass to her nomination last year.
Meaning what?
She wasn't that great. She's not that much of a standout in the movie. There was that one scene at the cemetery that kind of where it was hilarious and out of left field. Yeah. Without that scene, there's no way she gets nominated.
No, that's her star-making. I mean, not star-making, but that's the scene everyone remembers.
She actually was the stiffest part of this movie. I don't know why I'm deciding to derail this old woman's career.
This poor woman.
But Nebraska, all in all,
good luck
a great
working
movie.
Again, June Squibb. Now that Anderson trashed you,
and a lot of people have actually given me shit for being a champion of this movie and talking positively about it, and they say that it's just making fun of people from that part of the country. listen, Alexander Payne, the guy who wrote this, who directed this movie, it was written by Bob Nelson.
Oh, he didn't write it?
No, it's been jumbled about for over 10 years. Apparently, I think that I heard an interview with Bruce Dern, and apparently, like, they first came to him with this movie like 10 years ago, different director. But Alexander Payne, he's a known Nebraskaite.
Nebraskan.
He loves the Cornhuskers. He's from that part of the country. And he was pretty much just trying to put on screen what he experienced while living in Nebraska. Not in a bad way. Not like Vincent Gallo did with Buffalo 66, because Vincent Gallo hates Buffalo. He's like not even allowed back. They hate him. They hate him back.
He's banned.
Because he's talking so much shit. But Alexander Payne, he loves Nebraska. So, you know, he wasn't trying to make fun.
No.
Just show comedically what it looked like to him. So
this movie, I get more fond of it the more I think about it, the more
it's
distance.
Really,
and I remember the ending being really sweet and like a very nice wrap up of they almost pinned themselves into a corner, and I was like, oh, that's
it. Was almost like the use of negative space, because it was so anticlimactic that it worked.
Yeah, oh, totally. It was understated.
So Nebraska, 2013's Nebraska.
Don't you wish you could see those long, beautiful shots of Nebraska in color though?
No,
I thought the black and white was used really well at certain points, but I think that like, I would have loved to have seen that place, which I'm not too familiar with that area. I'd love to see it. But I think it would look naturally beautiful in color.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way with most black and white movies, this one included. I would have been fine, just fine, if it was color. I don't know if I would have liked it any more or less.
But the scene in the dentist, or in the doctor, where he's like, where'd my teeth go? And then he smiles, and it's just a black hole. That was done really well in black
and white. All the interiors, I think, worked a lot better than the exteriors. As soon as you get outside, I kind of want, I don't know, maybe I'm just making shit up at this point. Oh, like all the stuff in the living room.
It worked really well.
The stuff in the living room really felt like black and white, too.
Yep. Because it was all of a different era.
But like I remember years ago, the man that wasn't there, that Billy Bob Thornton movie that Coen Brothers did, black and white, everyone was going on and on about how beautiful it was. It's like,
We talked about a lot of black and white movies on today's show so far.
I'm done black and white. Done.
No more for me.
No more.
No more. Number three film for me, it's in full color. Shockingly, I think it only made my top five revenge movies list. But goddamn, The Usual Suspects is a 5-star movie.
Yep.
5-star movie.
Kaiser
Soze. Directed by Brian Singer in 1995. Christopher McQuarrie, the writer, deserves credit because I think it won Best Original Screenplay, I think. And I also think it won Best Supporting Actor. I didn't write it down, but I'm pretty sure for Kevin Spacey. My God. I
think a lot of people may not have seen this. A lot of younger listeners.
Which is crazy, right? Because this is a movie that holds up for, I mean, I just watched it 2 years ago.
This is in an era where Benicio del Toro, no matter what he did, I was first in the line to see his movies. I was such a fan.
Kevin Pollak was great. This is how many actors is this the peak of their career?
Benicio, also in Inherent Vice. Inherent Vice. So many people in
Stephen Baldwin.
So many people in Inherent Vice. They just like they have one scene and they're gone.
Pete Postlethwaite. Mm-hmm. Such a great. This was an also ran for ensemble cast. We did that episode a while ago.
Kevin Pollak, did you say that?
I said Kevin Pollak, and of course Postlethwaite, and who else is in the?
Sorry, buddy. Maybe Gabriel Byrne.
Gabriel Byrne. That's the name I was trying to think of. Thank you.
No problem, buddy.
So many great actors.
Number two for me.
Wait, no, we're gonna take a break.
Are we taking a break? But I have a whole five for Amazon Instant, as well as a bunch of also rans.
Better do that in the afterwards.
God damn it.
You'll have to wait around for that next. Hey, little darling. You never left your name. DraftKings, everybody. The list of millionaires crowned at DraftKings.com. This football season keeps on growing, and you could be next. It's America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where you can win instant cash every week. And your season-long fantasy team might be missing the playoffs, but the excitement begins again each and every week at DraftKings. One player turned $10 into $5,000. Another turned $2 into $10,000. A new millionaire has been made nearly every week this season at DraftKings.com. Head over there now, DraftKings.com, and use the promo code TFV to play in the $10 million Fantasy Football World Championships. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter TFV now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Anderson,
yeah,
you got first draft pick at the Blue Apron this week.
I was pretty excited about that because you've been holding out on me and you've been keeping the good ones.
You think so?
They're all good, but you've been getting the first pick, and it pisses me off. Not this week.
Remember what you went for?
Yeah, this week I went for the cod.
Yeah, macadamia crusted cod with forbidden rice, yellow beet, and avocado.
I'm going to eat that forbidden rice all by myself.
It's forbidden. How can you eat it all by yourself?
And then I went with the chicken.
Roasted chicken with latkes.
You hear latkes.
Potato pancakes. What's not to like?
But you never make latkes unless you're blue aproning.
That's exactly right. I ended up with the, luckily, the gnocchi with Savoy cabbage and sausage. What's your problem with sausage?
I just don't eat pigs, man.
All right, fair
enough.
They're
cute.
Well, here's the good news, everyone. For $9.99 per meal, Blue Apron sends you a refrigerated box with all the ingredients, all the, it's portioned out, instructions step by step. Best of all, they're only 500 to 700 calories a serving, although you'd never guess it based on how good they are. So check them out now. Get your first two meals free, that's right, free, at blueapron.com/TFV. Two meals free at blueapron.com/TFV.
Hey, I'm two-time survivor Rob Cesternino and host of Rob Has a Podcast right here on Podcast One. I'm breaking down what just happened on reality TV competitions like Survivor, Big Brother, The Amazing Race, and more. We're talking with all your favorite players and interviewing the new contestants after they get eliminated about just how badly they screwed everything up. So come on over and talk about reality TV with me on Rob Has a Podcast in the TV and film section here on Podcast One anytime. Or at least until they vote me out.
Dave, welcome back.
Yep. All right, let's get right into it.
We're
like
doing
Logan
it?
Said.
Right. Sorry, Logan. So hurry up. Sorry.
For my fuck list. Fuck flicks list. Here we go. Number two for
number
me.
Two.
A movie that I just been going on and on about. For the last, since I saw it, Blue Ruin.
Yeah.
Blue Ruin is
streaming?
Now streaming.
Okay.
Hell to the yes.
That came out this year.
2013.
Yeah.
Everybody enjoy. I think I just saw it this year.
Oh.
Everyone go out. How did I see Blue Ruin? I can't even remember.
I think it came out this year, like in the spring.
It's got 2013, so that means it was the festival circuit.
If it says IMDb, then that's, yeah, it wasn't
festival circuit.
Released.
I don't think it got theatrically released. Yeah, July 9th, 2014. Look at that. In France. Anyways, doesn't matter.
Probably right around there.
You don't know anyone in this movie. You don't need to. You don't know much about this movie unless you heard me wax poetic a number of months ago about it. You don't need to. Watch it. If you're a fan of film, if you enjoy what movies have to offer, Blue Ruin is for you. It's so fucking well done.
Should we do top five bleak movies? We did top five bleak
now
endings.
They know it's bleak.
Because it's the whole
thing. It's hilarious.
Feel,
like, the whole there's
dark.
Many, many very funny. This movie breathes. It's not one of those like film noirs where you're like painted into a corner. And
true.
Nothing's enjoyable. This is a very enjoyable, open, fun movie once you
Anderson,
get past.
This is not a fun movie.
Parts of it are.
There are maybe a couple parts.
Parts of it are. And it's fun in the sense that...
I like this movie a lot, but I would not call it fun.
It's fun in the sense that it's refreshing and it's new. It's seeing a lead character who is not... He's a coward, much like... I don't want to say coward. He's not a coward. He's an everyman.
Yeah, he's an everyman. This
he's
is a
believable everyman.
He's a man who's driven to violence almost reluctantly.
Not
he's
a coward.
Compelled.
Like, yeah, he has no choice.
Yeah, he's compelled.
Like, his mind's telling him no, but his body's telling him yes. There's nothing he can do. But it's a pure and simple vengeance movie with a very likable character played by Macon Blair. I said that after seeing this, like, if he was a name, like, he would have been considered, if not get an Oscar nomination for this role. He's fucking phenomenal. This is made by Jeremy Saulnier. And he and his friends actually have been making movies for years. They're going to continue to. He's the director at the helm. He's the guy that gets the name. But it's the same group of friends that he works with. And I also was going on and on about that movie that he did before this one, Murder Party, which I absolutely love.
Oh, yeah.
But Blue Ruin is... can I say a masterpiece? It's a masterpiece. It really is. In many senses of the word, it's a masterpiece. The opening 8 minutes alone is just something to behold. It's fantastic. Ballsy. Also, they're doing the, we got that new one, the green room.
I don't know what that is.
The green, what's it called? I'll look it up in a second. I love that movie.
Green Room?
No, Blue Ruin, I love, but he's got the new one about a band that gets stuck out in the outback, like out in the woods. They play a gig, and then there's a bunch of Nazis that are coming after him.
I don't know anything about this.
You don't know? Yeah, I've talked about it.
Okay.
Come on.
Number two for me, a five-star movie. This could be in my ever-changing, imaginary, elusive top 10 of all time. This may have a space. Signs of the Lambs.
Oh, it's
may
on
may have a space. It's streaming. And it's supposedly expiring January 1st. And this is a movie where, if you haven't seen it, your film knowledge is incomplete. Because this is, as we talked about, maybe as I've asserted, and I don't know about you, Anderson, it's a perfect movie. It cannot be improved.
Pretty close.
Cannot be improved.
Pretty close.
And iconic in
not
so many ways.
No. Not enough nudity for it to be perfect.
There's enough nudity. See bare buttocks and skinned.
They're dead though.
And they are. They're dead. Well, you can't have your cake and eat
it. I like
too.
Live butts.
These are not live butts.
I'd fuck me.
Ah, chain gum. Buffalo Bill. Speaking of Buffalo,
I think most people have seen this.
Buffalo 66 Bill.
You know the best part about this movie?
I wonder if you haven't seen it, how many lines will just be recognizable to you from the zeitgeist?
There's something so wonderful about that when you actually get to do that, when you're watching a movie and you're like, oh, that's where that came from. Yeah. Oh, now it's like you're opening a door of knowledge. Like now you're in on the joke.
Yeah.
I love when that happens. Like seeing the actual origin.
What were you going to say about this movie? You were saying something. I rudely interrupted.
I said most people have probably seen it, and what I love about this movie is Jonathan Demme and friends who were making this movie at the time, no idea what they were making. They thought they were making a fun little well-done horror film. They had no idea that it was going to have the kind of impact it did. The last movie to sweep the Oscars. They had no idea. It was actually a February release.
Yeah, that's right. It came out in the wintertime or the early spring or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it was not an Oscar film.
Talk about a sleeper.
Oscar bait.
I mean, even the people that made it had no idea.
It's actually a Valentine's Day movie.
Wow.
Things have changed. Landscape has changed. Can you imagine that?
Release platforms have changed. Anyway, Silence of the Lambs, please see it for some reason if you have not.
Or watch it again.
Especially watch it again.
It's a Christmas movie. Watch it while Brian's watching Irreversible.
How dare you.
On Christmas Day.
My number one is a Christmas movie, by the way.
I just looked up. Murder Party is not streaming, unfortunately. Oh, however, I did have the name right. Green Room is the movie that I was talking about, Brian. A young punk rock band find themselves trapped in a secluded venue after stumbling upon a horrific act of violence. Nazis are involved, I believe, or extremists, and they're fleeing for their lives.
Green light.
What a simple little movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Sounds great.
Green Room.
And number two for you.
Green Room.
Number two streaming.
Number two streaming. Gotta get right. I already did Blue Rune. Oh, here we go. Controversial time.
Why controversial?
Controversial. My number one pick, Brian.
Number one. Oh, because I did number two. You're right.
I already did Blue Rune. Number two. All right. My number one pick. Streaming right now on Fuckflix. You want to laugh? You want to have a good time and laugh? See a
of
man.
Course.
See a man. You don't think that you're pushing play, getting prepared to watch someone perform and act for you.
Okay.
He does though.
Well, I'm in.
It's called I'm Sorry You Feel That Way.
It's called I'm Sorry You Feel That Way.
The full title is Bill Burr,
colon,
I'm Sorry You Feel That Way.
Controversial.
His new stand-up is available on Fuckflix.
Not a film.
And watch it while it's streaming. He's got some deal with Fuckflix. It's streaming now, and then after a number of months, it will no longer be streaming, only available on DVD. Watch this man, support this man. He's the funniest comedy, for my money, funniest comic working today. But no, I'm just kidding. That's not my number one. But I wanted to give the people the option to watch it. Watch it with the wife. She was thrilled. Like about 45 minutes in, she's like, I don't want this to end.
It was that enjoyable.
I agree. I've seen all of his stand-up. I listen to his podcast every week. I like Bill Burr on his podcast a lot more than his stand-up because he does kind of an act. His stand-up and his podcast are starting to kind of find common ground. He's doing less shtick. Not that he was shticky to begin with, but less voices and that kind of thing. More storytelling, but he actually commits, and he's like actually down on his knees, you know, doing this whole scenario with, I'm not going to burn the bit, but oh, impressive shit.
Okay.
Oh, also all black and white. Shot all black and white.
I don't know about that.
At the Tabernacle in Atlanta.
Okay.
All right.
More black and white talk.
But here's my number one. If you learn anything from today's episode. This is a series that I talked about at length when I first saw it. I think it was right around this time last year. The only way you could get Black Mirror this time last year was if you were a DirecTV subscriber and you could get it on demand through DirecTV. It's out of England. It's out of the UK. It's called Black Mirror. There's three episodes per season, two seasons.
Not TV Vault.
This is more cinematic than most everything we've talked about today.
Really?
Black Mirror, created by Charlie Brooker. 8.7 on IMDb, and for my Fuckflix, it's suggesting I'm going to like it a 5.0. Oh, was Fuckflix right? Now, the first episode that you will watch, if you watch them in chronological, which you should, even though none of them intertwine, they're all their own things, they're all freestanding. The first one you see is the best, my favorite. They're all very clever. It's a modern-day Twilight Zone. It's well-acted. It's asking the title of Black Mirror is a self-reflect of our society and where we're at.
Okay.
And each one speaks to that. Each one is similar in theme to that.
What's it about?
They're all their own stories.
Oh, they're all individual
stories. The very first one is about like the prime minister being given an ultimatum.
Wow.
By terrorists. Oh, it's so good. I love it.
No, sold.
Okay, well, you can miss out. A television anthology series that shows the dark side of life and technology.
Interesting. Ooh, technology.
Oh, it's so good. It's a modern day Twilight Zone.
And it's on streaming Netflix.
You can stream it on the old Fuckflix right there. Wow. Black Mirror. Change your life. It'll change your life. I don't know if it's change your life. It's my kind of humor for sure.
Oh, it's funny.
Seeing with the prime minister, it's a very dark...
In a British way. It's British humor.
Cynicism about it. But yeah, watch the first one. The others don't quite hold up to the first one. The first one is by far and away the best.
Okay.
I don't want to say by far and away. They're all really good in their own way. But Black Mirror, enjoy. Each one's about 60 minutes. So some good binging you got there.
Wow, number one for me could not be more different. Although, it is British. Okay. Anderson, you and I share a love of Love Actually.
Oh, it's on my also ran.
Oh, yeah. It's streaming right now.
It's a Christmas movie, too.
For God's sake, it's a Christmas movie. Carve some time out in your schedule to watch Love Actually. Maybe not with the kids. There's a couple of bad words and some boobies. But, my God, what a movie. I love Love Actually. You and I think are in agreement. It is the best romantic comedy that exists.
It's perfect for this time of year, too.
This is a tradition for a lot of people. It is for me. It should be for you.
It's a great message about, you know, where we actually are and who we actually are as people and looking at the positive side of things. Yeah. And it's a great little movie with all these intertwining stories. A couple of stories I wasn't a giant fan of, if I had to pick nits, as you would say. Mm-hmm. A little anti-American for my taste at
There's
times.
A couple of moments here that I could... Here's how you know I love the movie so much. I love the movie so much I'm willing to forgive a couple of sort of cringeworthy moments.
There are a couple.
There's a few lines, a few moments that are just kind of like, maybe that.
And at first,
cut out.
I
five star movie
because I somehow was dragged to see it, and it's, you know, it is what it is. Look at it; it's a romantic comedy. Yeah. This is a movie that I would love to miss. It's like that movie it came out last year, New Year's Eve or whatever.
Yeah, this could have been the holiday for all I knew, and which was a dumb movie.
But it wasn't. It was so much more. It was so well done, and I ended up going back and seeing it numerous times. I've probably seen this movie 7 or 8 times. It's one of my favorite holiday movies. I totally agree with you.
It's streaming, and this is a perfect time of year to see it, so check it out, Love Actually.
How are we going
to
do this Amazon Instant now? Because I got five solid,
let's do your five.
Solid picks.
Just run them down.
All right, here we go. All recent movies, with the exception of a couple. I'm going to start with a classic, Airplane. If you're a Prime member over there, yeah. Amazon, Airplane. You can watch that right now.
Still funny.
Yeah, Airplane.
Possibly funnier.
Very different movie, Rescue Dawn.
I have not seen Rescue Dawn.
With Verna. Verna Herzog directs Rescue Dawn. I need food. I need sustenance.
Rescue Dawn's with
Steve Zahn.
Oh yeah,
Steve Zahn and Christian Bale. And there's a moment in this movie where it's like, holy shit, what just happened? Rescue Dawn. Based on another one of these, based on a real life actual occurrence from the war. The Spectacular Now.
Yeah,
Miles Teller before the Whiplash. Miles Teller
and Shailene Woodley. Yeah.
Fantastic movie. Great coming of age movie.
A subtle movie, quiet movie, but don't expect, you know, raunchy laugh a minute. But this is
not that movie at all. It's dramatic, but so well done that it's worth a watch for sure. One of my favorite movies of last year.
Nuanced, subtle.
One of the only times I've ever seen a movie that actually hits the nail on the head as far as teenage alcoholism and drinking.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they're not doing it to be cool.
They're not doing it to be funny. It's not heavy-handed either.
They're not heavy-handed at all. So well done. Spectacular Now. I highly recommend. As well as We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Ooh, streaming on Amazon? Oh, shit.
Can you imagine what a Christmas that would be?
No.
We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Maybe
still,
wait till after Christmas.
We Need to Talk About Kevin. Still my top 5 movies I've seen in the last 5 years.
Really?
It's so goddamn good.
It is good. It's a bit heavy.
We Need to Talk About Kevin. If you have not yet... I still get emails from people saying, I finally watched it. Holy shit. Thank you so much for recommending this. And then finally, a movie that Brian and I both love from earlier this year.
Don't speak for me.
Lock.
Lock is very good.
Lock is now streaming on Instant.
It's very good.
You can watch Tom Hardy drive for 90 minutes right now.
His beautiful lips.
On Amazon Instant. He grips that steering wheel very tightly
at times.
She is
distressed.
What a fantastic movie. Lock. Those are all.
A very well done movie in terms of limited storytelling and inventive movie making. That is a movie worth seeing.
I could be wrong, but I don't think any of those are actually over there on Fuckflix. So
I don't think they are either.
Take that, Fuckflix. Take that.
Here's my list of also-rans on Netflix. If you want to see any of these before they expire, they all expire January 1st. Annie Hall, one of the aforementioned Woody Allen movies. Batman, the Michael Keaton Batman. Braveheart, Tombstone, The Breakfast Club. Happy Gilmore, Gladiator, Spaceballs, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
So many movies to miss. Oh, Rescue Dawn is streaming on Fuckflix.
Rain Man, Death Race 2000, Anderson. Your movie
the original, 1975?
Slapshot and Titanic are all streaming on Netflix, and they'll expire in the next couple of weeks. So if one of those is on your list, get to it.
Airplane is also streaming on Netflix.
Airplane's excellent.
We need to talk about Kevin Is Not, though. Spectacular is now is not. Locke is not. All right. Let's hear the listeners before we wrap it up.
On Facebook and Twitter, I asked our listeners outside of the United States what their favorite movie that's currently streaming is.
Interesting.
And, because I wanted to include, we've taken criticism on past episodes of these top instant stream episodes that the people outside of the U.S. can't participate because it's a different stream. They have different movie streams.
Oh, so this is not helpful to any of our stateside listeners?
Well, we have mostly United States listeners, but I wanted to include some of the people outside. I posed the question on Twitter, and a few people from other countries chimed in. Other people just that thought that that was the topic this week were angry and just decided to insult me instead. From Canada, listeners suggested FUBAR from 2002.
I've still not seen FUBAR.
I looked it up on IMDb. It has a good rating on there. So
does Air Advice.
Office Space is streaming in Canada, as well as Margin Call. And if you want to take Anderson up on his suggestion for Blue Ruin, is also streaming in Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. In Germany, Only Lovers Left Alive is streaming, as well as In Bruges, which I thought was a great movie.
It was mismarketed.
Yes.
I went in expecting to see another Guy Ritchie type movie, and I did not get that at all, and I was taken aback.
In France, you can stream both The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, him, and the her version. I'm not familiar with that, but there was two listings on IMDb, one for him and one for her. And in England, The Angel's Share, which it was a 2012 film that came out there.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
All that streaming for them.
Thanks, Logan, for reaching across boundaries, borders, international borders.
What was the last one?
The Angels Share. Angels Possessive Share.
Mm-hmm. No mention of Black Mirror. Are you familiar with Black Mirror?
Yeah, actually, the host of the tech show I produce, he was telling me about it, saying exactly that it was a modern-day Twilight Zone, that I absolutely have to watch it right away.
You did. When did he tell you that?
Like a week ago.
5 years ago.
You've had time.
I got busy stuff right now, but over the next couple weeks, I will watch it.
All right, let's wrap this up with some gambling and get the fuck out of here.
Real quick, let me do my also rants here. Love Actually, but that's not. The Frighteners, streaming now, if you want to.
Peter Jackson's
got, finally, he's putting the goddamn Hobbit to bed. What's he going to do next, the poor man?
There's got to be some other Tolkien franchise he can unearth.
That he can gray-screen us with. It's all gray and red. Mm. Grays and oranges and reds. No blue. Mm. Very little blue. Anyways, The Frighteners. I stand behind the movie. I love that movie. Love, love, love. Snowpiercer. A lot of people seem to enjoy that one. That's streaming. I liked it.
Above average.
In a World, a movie that Brian and I both loved last year. Talking about just classics, all-time classics. American Beauty, streaming.
Mm.
Check that out if you haven't.
For
American
sure.
Beauty. Beautiful film. Fantastic film. And then finally, this is a movie you should probably just have on loop throughout the holidays, just at full volume for your neighbors to also partake in your enjoyment, and that is There Will Be Blood. Just have that on loop.
I didn't see it going that way. I thought you were going to say a happy movie.
It would be so great. Just have that on a continuous loop. If my wife allowed it, I would just have that playing in all the rooms throughout the day. Just wake up to it.
At all times.
You're just your mother's filth. You're just the afterbirth, Eli. Slid it down your mother's filth. Drainage! God, it's great. PTA.
I feel like I'm getting the soundtrack right now.
Paul, go watch that movie. Remember what you used to do. You used to have focus.
Go back to your...
You used to follow like characters that were enjoyable. Fun. You really wrote pathetic characters well. Now it's just kind of like, hey, this happened, man, and that
happened.
He made
so many great movies in a row at first. How many bad movies is he allowed now?
I wouldn't say The Master is a bad movie. I would say Inherent Vice is a bad movie. It cost him $20 million. He got to do whatever he wanted. I'm a little bit taken aback that he would be so fascinated with this dull character. Not a dull character. I'm talking about Joaquin Phoenix's Doc. Character in Inherent Vice. It's like an uninspired version of the dude. Really. It's like if one of your friends is like, I could do a version of the dude.
Hmm.
I don't know why one of your friends.
I don't know why I'm one of friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be you. You're my friend. All right, let's gamble.
All right, last week you gambled on Exodus, Gods and Kings. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 44%, Anderson bid 51, and Brian 55.
It's gotta end.
Currently, the Tuesday after release, the Rotten Tomatoes score for Exodus is 27%.
27!
Can't wait to see this one.
It went from 44 to 27? Jesus. Anderson, you won!
What's going on? What's going on with that movie? What's happening?
Doesn't look good.
I think it was the hype from, what was the one that came out last year? Noah.
I mean, it just looked like the only reason it existed was to have that special effects sequence towards the end.
I think the gods, I think maybe a little religious. They're hoping to catch with a religious
folks. Talk about directors who lost their fastball. Ridley Scott's got to go on that list.
He's been through some shit.
Yeah, true. Doesn't have tech out on us.
I'm going to give you a choice, Brian.
Let's hear it.
I think you're probably going to go see The Theory of Everything anyways. Be careful of that one, though. Because I could see it really tapping into something with you.
Okay.
Because they're similar with the way that he's walking that you've dealt with.
I have a cousin who died of ALS.
Oh, well, then there's another. That's a whole other angle.
I know. I'm trepidatious.
Yeah, because I don't know about seeing this in public would be the smartest thing for you. Or you can check out Black Mirror.
Black Mirror? Do I have to watch all six episodes?
Yeah, that's the thing. How about the first season?
First three.
Yeah.
All right. Can I just tell you when I come back?
Yeah, you figure it out. I want you to see one of those two when you come back, though.
Okay. Maybe I'll see
Black Mirror. You need to see Black Mirror, too, my friend.
I will see Black Mirror before I see you next.
It's not very Christmassy, though. It's pretty dark.
It's all right. I need some stuff to watch over the break.
All right. Okay.
All right. Premiering tonight, actually, the night we're recording this episode.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Cut you off. You have to go see Annie. I just changed.
Okay. Black Annie?
No, Black Mirror. Okay. All right. Sorry.
All right. Anyways.
Hey, that's Michael Catherwood desperately trying to be a part of something.
Who's that?
All right. The Hobbit, which premiered 2 days before this episode aired. You're going to be gambling on that one.
What's with Colbert dressing up as every goddamn character? That's very strange,
He's
right?
a huge Tolkien fan.
Is he?
He's a huge Hobbit fan, yeah. He knows all the back history. He knows.
Does he know that
really
on The
well.
Simpsons, the toy store at the mall is J.R.R. Tolkien's?
Does he know that? I didn't know that.
I wonder if Colbert does. How about he does?
He might.
All right. What is the name of the full name of this one?
The Hobbit. Of Smaug. Something Five
Battle
Armies
of the
or something?
Five Armies.
Is it the final end of the never ending?
Until they reboot the series, yeah.
Are you going to see this? I've seen every goddamn one.
You have?
I truly have not. Everyone, and I've seen every Lord of the Rings. Hobbit.
I banned Hobbit films.
I spent way too much time on
them. You really seen them?
I really have. Every single one. I don't know why.
I don't remember even talking about it.
Oh, yeah. The Desolation of Smaug. Remember, I was very confused as to how the dragon got all the gold in there with his little hands?
That's a good point.
A lot of people let me know. They're like, the gold was already there. He just laid claim to it. I'm like,
all right.
Everyone settle down.
Relax.
It really was like Scrooge McDuck gold, though. Like he was swimming
into
it. He really was.
Spitting a stream of gold.
It really was, right? The dragon in Desolation of Smaug was like swimming through the gold.
Didn't see it.
I'm the only one who got to enjoy that.
All right, hold on.
The spiders were pretty great in that, though. I like the CG. I like, you're going to see some cutting edge shit. Oh, you know what else I'm going to try and see before the next year? I'll come back. We'll see it after we do a documentary about Doc Ellis.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that.
Yeah, it's you can watch it on YouTube right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a number. Do you have a number?
I do.
I'm afraid I'm too low. I said 75.
I said 63.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Now, this is going to be a career achievement thing. They're going to just get
They already did that, though, with the last loader. You can't do it the same thing twice. Different characters, same universe.
All right, we'll see. All right. Logan?
All right, well, currently, the Tuesday before release...
It comes out tomorrow?
Yeah, it comes out tonight at midnight, actually. Actually, it already came out at 7 p.m.
I already bought my ticket. I don't know.
It's already out, actually, as we speak. With 102 reviews, the Rotten Tomato score for the third Hobbit movie is 59%.
Yeah!
New streak!
Oh, I'm fucking undefeated this year.
New streak is burgeoning.
All right. And we're going to pay this off what? Like in a couple of...
In the new
January 9th, it will be paid off.
Just for my own edification, Brian's, yours, as well as the listeners, next episode is what? Family Vault Christmas?
Our annual family Christmas. It'll air the day after Christmas, actually.
Sweet.
The 26th.
And then the following
Boxing
week,
Day.
Boxing Day. The following week is...
Red Light, Green Light with Diana Vandekamp, nice. As well as the redemption of the Parent Guide game.
Sweet. No gambling or anything, though, and no flick fashion. And then we'll be back to our same old form after that. All right.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you also to Becky. She's the listener who sent in the fan art.
Thanks, Becky.
Which, by the way, has been excellent lately. Anderson, you're just commenting on this.
They've been great. Yeah. How was Becky's? I haven't seen it.
Logan, how's Becky's?
It's pretty great. It's Christmas great. Themed, so.
Perfect. Thanks, Becky. And thanks to all of you who have sent stuff in. We'll get to it, and we'll get it all on there. Yeah, andersonandbryan.com is where you go to do your last-minute Christmas shopping. Click through the old Amazon.com banner that resides atop the page. The Film Vault over at Facebook and Twitter. AndersonCowan.com. Oh, and don't forget about the After Disaster tickets, last-minute tickets. Shows in a couple days.
It'll be a good time. I got my Santa suit. It's going to be embarrassing.
Oh, dear.
It's going to be embarrassing. I'm afraid that the other two Pabs didn't get theirs in time, and it's going to be like one of those toga parties. One. Yeah.
Oh, no.
That worries me.
Like Bridget Jones. You show up to the costume party or
I don't know anything about you. What do you... Bridget, who?
Bridget Jones.
Why would you have any recollection of that?
Not
I thought
a
you're
bad
a man.
Movie. It's not
I thought
a bad
you were
movie.
A man.
I used to be.
What happened to her face? What happened?
That's next time in the Film Vault.
I know. We're not going to talk about that on the Christmas episode because we want it to be cheery and happy and
that's
nice.
That's a good point.
But I really liked her. She was a sweet, nice girl.
You should call her Lemonface.
I never called her that.
No, you did.
The wife called her that. I never called her that. I don't think it's her. I think that there's somebody else. Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
Okay, is it Changeling?
Mm. All right. We do it for Van Gogh. Car, Brian.
True Car.
Everyone's talking about True Car.
When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever.
Yeah, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear they might overpay, which everybody has when
it's
you walk into a lot.
It's the worst. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of, get this, $3,221 off MSRP.
So when you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps.
First.
I said it, Brian, first.
First.
First, I said it first. You got to download that True Car mobile app.
Mm-hmm. TrueCar.com, that's where you go.
Or you can go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car that you want. Then you register to set up front pricing information and lock in those savings.
Third step, simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay.
To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.